They don't call it the Speedway for nothing. And welcome to the Fast Cars, Fast Girls podcast with Abby and Molly.
Just a reminder, the opinions and views we express in this podcast are those of the speaker. They do not represent those of our individual employers. They are solely our opinions.
Keep in mind that we never let the truth get in the way of a good story. All right, so we're back after the Kohler race up in Wisconsin. I hope that they enjoyed some cheese while they were up there.
You know, I was thinking that people had.
I would hope so. I mean, Wisconsin has such amazing cheese. We always would stop there on the way to my grandma's during the Meyer 24, as we referenced last week. But we'd hit Humbert cheese, which is not close to where the Kohler is. But if you go through Wisconsin, go to Humbert cheese. It's the best.
All right.
Although that place stopped the drivers up. That would always be a problem for us. We'd eat so much Wisconsin cheese that we'd be at grandma's for like 4 days and none of us would have pooped.
Yeah, but I think that's okay because you don't want them to poop.
Well, that's true. That's true. We don't want them to poop during the race. No. So, yeah, Pat McAfee had asked Connor Daly if he had ever Peter pooped in a suit. And Connor said no. Pat did not believe him. I do believe
you
him.
You do?
I do. And here's why.
Okay.
Because I'm going to go and open my beer.
Yeah, maybe you.
Here's why. Because on the first day of quals this year for the 8500, I peed very early on. Mm-hmm. We had that rain delay. We drank a lot. And then we were out in the sun.
Yeah.
And it got pretty hot, and I went the entire rest of the day and didn't pee. And so I think even though I was drinking alcohol, I mean, I was sweating out a lot of things, and I didn't have to pee for hours and hours. So I think it can be done.
I don't know, because, you know, I think we drank about the same. We sat there about the same, but I always have to pee, but I keep myself, like, really fucking hydrated. Like, even during races and stuff, when I'm running 13 miles, I have to pee somewhere in the middle.
Well, that's true.
I feel like maybe not everybody, but if I were driving, I'd have to pee. So another reason why I can't be.
Another reason.
Just another reason.
One of many. One of many reasons we couldn't be drivers. Okay, so the Kohler, another road course, which Molly and I have kind of changed how we feel about road courses. We're kind of enjoying them more.
And maybe, like, we saw the Indy Grand Prix in person. Maybe seeing it on the TV is better for a road course.
Yeah, because you get to see the entire course, whereas just that little section that we saw, I mean, it really did look like Mario Kart.
It did, and we saw a lot of action, but on the TV you could see a lot more of them overtaking the others.
Yeah, and so I think that makes a difference. Well, also where we were, we didn't have a great screen. Because you don't necessarily need a screen there for the Indy 500, whereas at Wisconsin, it looked like when they showed the fans and things that they have lots of big screens everywhere so that they could still stay a part of the action, even though they could only see a small part. So, yeah. Okay, so things to keep in mind about the course, 4 mile track, 50 laps, 200 miles, pit stops with fuel.
Pit stops, big issue in this race. There was the three pit stop or the four pit stop kind of strategy, as it were. And I was reading through everything because they actually had a nice breakdown of how many people took how many pit stops.
Oh, excellent.
So in the top five all had three pit strategy.
Yes.
The first one to do a four pit was Ray Hall, and he was number eight.
Interesting.
So they were talking about if you ended up doing a four pit strategy and you had to get back out there and make up that time, like you could not let one thing go wrong.
Couldn't have a single thing. Everything else had to run perfect. Mm-hmm. Which they asked Rossi afterwards if he regretted that strategy, and he stated that he had no regrets. And all I could think was, no regrets, not even a letter. But yeah, again, Rossi, nope.
No regrets.
Anything? No regrets. Nope. So we'll have to have a no regrets meme with Rossi.
We'll send it to my mom. She'll love it.
Not even a letter.
No.
And the thing with the three versus four is that with the four stops, had there been a yellow in between when they pitted and the group that did three stops in between their next pit, if it was right around the time that they were going to pit, it could have really screwed them, and the people with four pit stops would have been serious contenders. But they just, because, you know, you can catch up on a yellow, you just can't pit, and you can't pass. And so, had there been a yellow right after they got out of the pit, they would have been able to catch up with the leaders, and then they, you know, could have maintained formation, but they would have been in a better spot. But the yellows, the cautions just didn't fall their way this time.
We only had two cautions, which I think that's the lowest number of cautions we've had for races.
This year, absolutely.
Thinking back to the Clusterfuck 600.
I mean, they had a fucking red there.
Jeez, okay. They had a red at the
Indy 500 this year.
My goodness.
Yeah, with Dixon's crash. It was not very many flags.
No, which is
Good. It keeps it moving. Esteban Gutierrez from F1 is now replacing Sebastian Bourdais for the rest of the season or until Sebastian's clear to drive. Yes, Formula One.
And we hope Sebastian's clear to drive soon.
We do. I heard from an inside source that he should be clear. He's hoping to race in the final race this season.
That's what I'm starting to hear. they're making grumblings that he's going to be at least the final race. Now, he wants more, but...
He wants to come back sooner, but I heard this about a week after he crashed. Okay. So, a little insider info there.
Look at you.
And I got the skinny on his exact injuries because I'm a nurse and I just need to know.
Right.
So, they have been rotating Tristan Vaudier and James Davison. And Vaudier killed at Texas. I mean, you talked about that. He had that sweet line.
Jesus. I still think about that to this day.
I mean, he's beautiful. He's a great driver.
He is.
And I'm actually sad that he doesn't have a full-time car. And then James Davison also is an excellent driver. As a matter of fact, we met Davison's dad and his dad's best friend, who...
He was a racer. And
yes, he was a Formula One. Formula One. He actually was an Australian F1 champion.
Wow.
And so he told us some very cool stories about when he was on the race circuit. They are both in their 70s easily now. Either that or they're in their 60s and they just really enjoyed life. One of the two. But yeah, and so something that Davison's dad had talked about with us, which we've talked about together, is, you know, because Bourdais was in that crash the Saturday qualifications before the Indy 500, and then they had to find a replacement and get him ready. And remember, you have to participate in the rookie orientation program. And so James Davison had to come into the track on Monday before the Indy 500 and had 4 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. He had to complete the ROP.
Mm-hmm.
He had to prove that he could drive the car at qualifying speed. I mean, he was still placed last, but he had to do these things, you know, even though it wasn't during actual qualifications. Because the car had qualified.
Yeah.
And so your car can qualify, but you can switch out drivers. But he still had to do the ROP. And that's how, when people have multiple cars, how they get back on. Each car has to qualify.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but he still had to do the ROP, and he had to get ready and get race ready. And they had to figure out little adjustments because, you know, everybody drives a little bit differently. They've got different strengths and weaknesses and, you know, different experience and knowledge levels. And so he had, whereas everybody else had the entire month of May to do that, he had 4 fucking days.
Wow.
Which, I mean, coming in and never having raced the Indy 500, which is a huge race.
Big race.
And a race that can throw people for a loop who are tenured race car drivers. So, in my opinion, I think he should have been Rookie of the Year.
You know, I know that they gave it to Fernando at the banquet. And I don't know. I mean, we all know why they gave it to him.
We gave it to him. Yeah.
I mean, let's...
I feel like it was political.
It was.
Because he came from F1, mm-hmm. and everybody's excited in it. And hopefully brought in some F1 fans to watch the Indy 500. And that's great, but Alonso is not
a rookie.
He's not a rookie driver. He was just a rookie at the Indy 500. And so when you look at how well he did, which is impressive. I mean, he finished fifth.
Yeah, I remember his car died.
Oh, his car did die. Okay, that's right. He started fifth. Okay, yeah. And so Davison started in the back of the pack, and he actually made his way up.
Yeah.
He was involved in the crash with Dixon.
Yeah.
And that's what took him out. So they both were out at the same time. But he was running a really hard race up until then. I mean, starting number 33
mm-hmm.
and making your way up to the pack where you're side by side with Scott Dixon, that's fucking impressive.
That's,
I don't care if you're a rookie
impressive.
Or not.
Yeah.
So I think the amount of time that he had to prepare and how well he did up until that crash really is a testament to what a good driver he is.
Definitely.
And I would really like to see him in next year's Indy 500. I'd like to see him in a car, in a permanent car.
Whose team is that? Whose team is Sparday on?
I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
I
was gonna tell him, like, hey.
Yeah, I'll look it up. All right, you can move on while I look that up.
All right, well, another couple of issues that happened pre-race. Michaela Lotion, as we kind of talked about last time, he was driving in Le Mans. And so Le Mans ended, like, the week before the Kohler. Well, somebody had some visa trouble. Which is unfortunate. Apparently, some reporters who had talked to them said, yeah, it's a thing. Whenever I go, I always have trouble, like, entering and exit countries because he's Russian. So they really thought that he was not going to be able to get here in time for the race. So they had Robert Wickens step in to replace him. And he drove a DTW, which, here's my German for you, Deutsch Tourwagen Masters. He was a driver for that.
Nice.
And that was as of the 23rd of June when that all started to happen, but in time for the race, Mikhail did get in there. Apparently, though, like, he got here, his clothing didn't get here.
Oh my gosh.
I think he had a helmet and a race suit, but that was about it. Like, his shit was just, like, lost in translation somewhere.
That's crazy.
Crazy.
And so he has these issues pretty much every time he
enters
and exits a country because he's Russian. Which, his Twitter account posted a hilarious photo.
Yes.
That looked like something out of, like, an action movie, And it said, you know, it was like
Russian escape from Le Mans
2017. And so it was basically just, you know, poking fun at the fact that it was taking him for fucking ever to get the hell out of France and get back to the United States. So yeah, that was pretty funny. We retweeted that this week.
Yeah.
So it looks like Sebastian Bourdais, he's with Dale Coyne Racing.
Okay.
So I think Ed Jones is with them as well.
Yeah, Ed, I think that's who Pippa was this year for the 500.
Yes, Pippa was with Dale Coyne this year for the 500. So, okay. Practice sessions.
I'll tell you what, day one, I didn't pick Rossi to win, but day one I was like, God damn it, I should have picked Rossi.
He went all out.
He did.
And I actually, both days of practice, I thought to myself, I fucked myself with my prediction on Tony Kanaan being the top three. I fucked myself super hard on that.
Yeah, I got that text from you.
I was like, God damn it, TK! And I totally lost that prediction because he crashed and ended up not finishing the race. So I did not earn any points on that. But yeah, Pagenaud did well. I mean, Powell did well. Per usual.
Bobby.
And Newgarden always does extremely well on road courses. He does much better on road courses than on ovals.
Yeah.
And so even though we had made our predictions last week, I had text Molly midweek so that I could get it official before the race, you know, began and practice and all that. Excuse me. And I said, I also think that Newgarden's going to place in the top five. So I made an additional prediction that did not get recorded last time, but it was marked down. Yep, she'll allow it.
I'll allow it.
Council says she'll allow it. So
allow it.
And then Dixon rounded out the top five on practice session number one. Then practice session number two, Newgarden. Yeah. Newgarden was the best that day.
Power again. Real strong Charlie.
Yep.
Pagenaud did well. Castro Neves did well. Hinchcliffe did okay. Practice session two. I think he kissed the edge of the track a couple of times, but you know, on those road courses, you're either in the grass or you're on the track. I mean, that's it. There's no in between.
There's not.
No.
There's not. Which we've talked before about the grass on different tracks, and I do still think that the grass on ovals should just be done away with.
Mm-hmm.
I just think they go so fast that it is unsafe to have any grass there because if they get out, then they, you know, they don't have any grip on those tires. But with the road course, they have two different types of tires.
That's
and they talked about that if you watch the race. They've got the black tires, and then they call them the red sticker tires.
Yep.
And they're not actually red. They've got a red line. It's like a red wall, like the old white wall tires, but it's not even truly the whole wall.
No.
But they're a little softer compound, and so they grip the pavement better.
Yeah, but they also wear out a lot.
They also wear out a lot faster.
Yeah.
So you've got to, you know, that's one of the things you have to take into consideration when you're doing your pit stops and figuring out how long you're going to go, how many laps in between pit stops. Now, those black ones are a little harder.
Mm-hmm.
The composition's harder, and so, you know, you can go longer and you can go faster with them, and they last longer, but it also takes a lot longer for them to get up to temperature so that they grip that track.
The reds are much better for a restart.
Yes.
And actually, if you watched, a lot of the cars that really started the race were on reds. Pagenaud was not. He was on black, and he was just getting passed by everybody right in the beginning.
He was.
Yeah, it was unfortunate.
It was unfortunate. And I know that there were multiple times where, like, Castro Neves was in the lead for a while. He had the red sticker, and I think Newgarden was still in the blacks for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And so they kind of, you know, speculated that maybe he regretted that decision because he didn't have them up to temp quite yet and wasn't able to maintain the speed necessary to prevent that pass. Although some people think he just didn't do good defensive driving, which, although did you know, fun fact about IndyCar, one of the rules is that, like, you can't have any collusion among team drivers. So, like, in Talladega Nights where they do the shake and bake, like the slingshot, that's officially not allowed by IndyCar.
Is it allowed by NASCAR?
I don't know. I didn't look. Why? Because I don't care.
No.
But you're not allowed to, you know, have communication between race teams and say, oh, I'm going to do this so that, you know, my team wins, even if it's not your car. You're not allowed to crash somebody out on purpose so that whoever in your team is in, you know, front,
exactly,
if there's four laps left so that
yeah.
they can win out of yellow. You're not allowed to do that. And if race control suspects that, by the way, all decisions by race control are above reproach. You may not appeal any decision by them.
I really love that.
I love that, too. I love that power. That power.
Really,
oh, my gosh.
Power.
If I were on race control, I would abuse it. I would
so
abuse
much.
The shit out of it.
So much.
But, yeah, so even if they just suspect it, they can punish the driver. They can punish both drivers that they think are involved. They can punish the entire team. And they can punish all of the drivers that race for that team, regardless of who was or was not involved. So they could give monetary fines. They could take away points. and they can hold you all in pit lane for as long as they fucking want to.
Oh my God, that's insane.
So it's quite the, because they have the ability to impose whatever penalty they think is reasonable. And again, you may not appeal it.
I really like that.
I like it too.
But,
so,
you know,
because there are people that speculated and had some conspiracy theories when Danica was in that, you know, that they worked together to finish on a yellow that year so that she couldn't gain any more spots. Which I think just to me sounds like conspiracy theory bullshit.
Right.
That's like
male conspiracy theory bullshit.
Yeah. And so, I mean, if that were really a thing, I guess if you look at, you know, sexism, it could go as high as race control. But I really don't think at this point in time, like, I don't think that would be something that we're all like, oh, let's make sure that she doesn't finish any better. Like, she was already in fifth. I feel like if there was really a conspiracy, somebody would have just crashed into her.
Right.
Just taking her out completely.
But I do like that the collusion is not there, because I will tell you what, if I was on a team, they'd be like, you should let your teammate pass. Nope.
I don't think so.
This is my race. They can do what they want to do.
Right.
You all better earn it.
Exactly. I mean, it's the same thing when I was a swimmer. It's a team sport. We're all on the same team. But I'm racing against people, members of my own team and members of a different team. And I'll tell you what, I don't give a shit if we're on the same team. I'm going for the first.
If you ain't first,
I'm going, you're last.
There you go.
You ain't first, you're last. I'm going for the blue ribbon every time.
Yeah.
I'm sure as shit not going to swim slower so somebody else on my team can get it first. No, that's not happening.
It's not happening at all.
No.
Uh-uh.
So, and I think that anybody who would do that is not a true competitor, and whatever penalties they get, they earn.
Agreed.
Agreed. I think that would be some bullshit.
That would be total bullshit.
Total bullshit. Okay, so anyhow, so going back
to where we were. Let's see, we just did practice session. So quals. So one of the things I noticed about quals, and you and I kind of talked about it, were the differences between Will Power's hands when he was driving and Rossi's hands when he was driving.
Yes.
Will Power, his hands looked like it was a Sunday morning drive. Like me, like out on the Honda, like, all right.
Totally. I mean, he was just barely moving his arms back and forth. I mean, just barely making very small adjustments with the wheel to make those turns. Just very relaxed. I mean, it almost reminded me of in Talladega Nights when Jean Girard has like a cup of espresso and he's got like opera music playing in the car.
Exactly.
Like, you know, he was just so relaxed and laid back about it that you were just like, I mean, is he even working?
Right.
Like, I mean, you know that he is, but it's like, I mean, he just looked, I mean, it looked effortless.
Because they contrasted that with like a split screen of Alexander Rossi's hands, and sweet Lord, I thought it was an earthquake.
Oh my God. He was all over the fucking place.
I couldn't.
I mean, and they said on there, I mean, that he was just fighting his car, and you could tell
exactly
that.
It.
And so, I mean, that's one of the many things that they, you know, change from race to race is, you know, different adjustments with the car and how it drives, because Indy cars actually don't have power steering.
True.
Our cars all now have power steering.
Very nice.
And F1 cars have power steering. And so that's a big difference when you come from F1 to IndyCar, is that you really do have to wrestle your car a lot more than you do in other types of auto racing. And so if you've never driven a car without power steering, it's awful.
You know, I think I've had the power steering fail on me a couple of times.
And you notice it right away, because all of a sudden you're like, whoa. Like, you feel like you are just literally fighting against your car. It takes so much effort and strength to turn your wheel. I actually learned how to drive in a 1959 Edsel.
Nice.
Yeah. It was an anniversary present from my mom and my dad one year, because he liked to work on cars. And so I helped him work on this car, and so that's the car I learned to drive in. Which, by the way, means that I can parallel park anything except for a school bus. That's pretty much the only thing that I can't parallel park. But Edsels are huge.
Yeah, it's a boat.
Yeah, it's a boat. Yeah. It's a boat. It was quite a big car, and it did not have power steering. And so I learned to drive a car without power steering. It is quite the difference. Then when I actually, like, started driving the car that I was going to be driving, I was like, this is so fucking easy. And my dad was like, yeah, that's why I had you practice in the Edsel.
I think that makes sense.
It does. I mean, I feel like I'm a better driver for it. I mean, he was kind of a dick about it. Like, we set up, he was an instructor for, the EVOC course, which is Emergency Vehicle Operator course. It's out in Plainfield. He was a police officer. And so he was one of the driving instructors that teaches police how to drive fast, but safely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they have to, they actually do very specific things with their hands, much like race car drivers do. Like, they don't, like, turn their wheel with their hands, you know, going all the way around like we do. Like, they try to keep their hands at, you know, like, 9 and 3 and just kind of edge the steering wheel between them.
Sure.
And so he tried to get me on that course unofficially, but it was pretty booked. And so he just got traffic cones and set up a course in the high school parking lot. And have me drive
exactly.
through it. Yeah, sounds totally like my dad.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, everybody, and I took driver's ed too. Let me be clear about that.
Sure.
Like, it wasn't like I didn't take driver's ed. I did. This was just an additional course that Joe Meyer had me take. So I had to drive around this whole course that he had set up in the parking lot. And I was all proud of myself. I didn't hit any cones, and I was feeling like a badass. And I was like, all right. And he goes, okay, now do it in reverse, hot shot. I was like, fuck you. Really? What the hell? I did not do as well in reverse.
No.
Not the first time. I had to do it until I didn't hit any cones.
Of course.
So, yeah. So, I feel you, IndyCar drivers. I feel you.
Which is also why in a crash, they go, like, hand check.
That's right. They do. They put their hands off. And I don't know if you've ever seen that. Whenever they are getting ready to hit the wall, and it almost looks like, you know, they've kind of just given up. Like, we know we're going to hit. Like, I'm out. I'm just going to let the car do whatever it's going to do. Which you never do in your daily driver car. Even if you're sliding on ice, you know, you're turning into the slide, mm-hmm. or, you know, doing different things. But the reason is because it doesn't have this power steering. Mm-hmm. If that wheel hits and jerks it, it's going to move that drive shaft and your wheel so hard that you can actually, like, break your wrist, break your arm, dislocate your shoulder. You can really jack yourself up. Like, you can get really jacked up.
Yeah.
So that's why they let go, which, I mean, it's to protect themselves. So I
call it a hand check.
Yeah, hand check.
Hand check.
So, which, yeah, Kanaan did that.
He did.
When he crashed out. Okay, so Penske.
Penske party.
Penske party. At Qualls. They had, what, the first four spots?
Sounds about right.
And then Power's number fifth. Qualls part one. Rossi was all over the fucking track.
All over the goddamn track.
Oh my gosh.
It was like he was mowing the lawn.
It really was. I mean, he was fighting that car the entire weekend.
And they had mentioned, I think Penske had the knowledge of what to do to trim the cars out, and they definitely showed it for Qualls. Chip Ganassi figured it out somehow because Dixon did real well, but I mean, everybody else, the Honda cars were all over the fucking map.
They were.
All of them.
They were. The Chevy cars did pretty good, though. I know. All right. Let's see. You want to talk about Marco?
Marco didn't do that bad.
Not in Qualls.
No.
He did really shitty in the race. Do you know, he hasn't won a race in 3 years, and he hasn't been on a podium in two.
I didn't know what happened, because I rewatched a couple of shit, and I was like, fuck, what happened? I actually Googled, what happened to Marco? Kohler GP 2017. And from what I can tell, he just had some shitty car experience, which makes me think that maybe, like, the hate from Connor's car
has moved.
Kind of, like, moved over to Marco's car.
Which would be totally fine with. Yeah, because Connor actually finished the race. So Molly won that on our predictions.
I did win that.
So, yeah, I'd be fine if that hate went over to Marco's, because we don't really care for him as a driver. Plus, I don't think he wants to be a driver.
I don't think so either.
He does not want to be a driver.
No.
I mean,
I kind of, like, blink twice if you're being kidnapped.
Right? Seriously. Blink Marco, twice. You can let us know. If you don't want to be a driver.
Blink twice.
Blink twice. We'll come rescue you. You can be a nurse. I'll help you through nursing school.
There you go.
It's a good job.
I don't think he wants to be a lawyer.
No, I don't think so. I don't think most people want to be a lawyer.
No.
You're just a masochist.
I don't want to be a lawyer someday. But I am one.
But you are.
But I am.
But you are. All right. Will Power just said.
You know what? He showed up for Qualls and he went, this is my track. I mean, Elio won the pole, but Will Power showed up and basically was like, this is my track.
I got this.
I got this, homies.
I got this. Yeah, Will Power did a great job.
He did a fantastic, fantastic job. What's interesting was, and I'm going to say this because if you say it, the protection order might come a little bit quicker.
Sure.
Ed Carver did not race because he was calling the strategy for the race.
That's correct.
Which is exciting. I thought that's pretty cool.
It is, because their race strategist was celebrating celebrating an anniversary. Or no, he had a baby that was just born. He had a baby that was just born. That's right.
Makes sense.
Michael Andretti wasn't there because he was celebrating his 25th anniversary.
Right. And Roger Penske wasn't there.
No.
So basically everybody's gone.
Yeah, that seemed very odd to me. But
it did. And I think that's what that's part of what happened with Penske, is that Roger Penske wasn't there to be like, hey, everybody.
This is how the fuck we do things.
This is what we do. And, like, the Penske team showed up strong, but
they did not do.
It just, I don't know.
Yeah.
It wasn't the showing we thought it was.
I mean, Newgarden did well, but he always does well on road courses.
Yes.
So I don't think it matters to Newgarden who's calling the strategy for the race, because I think he just innately does well, mm-hmm. does better on road courses than most other drivers. Mm-hmm. So they start two wide. We're three wide thinking 500, but they were two wide. So the first four were all Penske.
Yeah.
It
was Elio, Power, Pagano, Newgarden.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And,
I had it written.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Power is Penske as well.
Power is Penske.
Okay. And then TK we found this out this week, has started a ridiculous number of consecutive IndyCar races. It's like over 100 or 200. I had the number written down and I lost it. But anyhow, but like since 2001, and he missed a race in 2001 due to an injury. He missed the Detroit Grand Prix. Otherwise, it would be an even bigger number.
Yeah.
But since the Detroit Grand Prix of 2001, he missed that one. And then starting with the very next race, he has not missed an IndyCar race start since then.
Jesus.
I mean, that's impressive. And he's not, I mean, he's not a spring chicken.
He's not a
spring chicken. He's in his 40s.
And he looks good for being in his 40s.
He looks great. Oh my God, he's so sexy. I don't even care that he's only 5'5". He is so sexy.
And this is a big deal for you.
It is a big deal for me. I'm very tall. I'm 5'8", but I would not give a shit at all if it was Tony Kanaan. I know he is. But if anything ever happens to her, God forbid,
why would she gotta die in this situation?
Well, because I'm sure she's a nice person. Okay. I mean, I don't want to wish, like, divorce upon them.
Okay.
I'm just saying,
okay,
if there was an accident, I mean, I'm not gonna wish either of them upon them, but, you know, I don't want them to have baggage from a divorce. Like, I can handle death baggage, but I can't handle mistrust. Too old for that shit. Jesus.
Well, speaking of somebody who's starting.
Yeah. We went there.
I'm trying to get us back on track. It's gone now.
Sorry.
It's gone.
All right. Alio has also, that was his 50th pole to win.
Good for him.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, Alio is a good driver. There's a lot of people who love him. There's a small number of people that really, really hate him.
Really, really hate him. I'm ambivalent, I think, about him.
I used to really enjoy him. As time's gone on, I enjoy him less. I hear that he's kind of a prima donna.
Which makes me
like him less.
Yeah, that does go in the anti.
Yeah, because like, okay, you're a good driver, but like, you don't need to be a diva about it. Well, not even like a dick, like you're a diva about it. Like, yeah, I don't know. I don't like any athlete to be a diva.
That being said, like deep down, I want him to win the 500 again.
Yeah, to join the Indy 500 like, club of in the four-time winners.
In our lifetime.
Yes, that would be super cool because the year that we were born, 1984, Rick Mears won. And he's one of only three drivers that have won four times. So it would be nice to be there for that.
I think so. So
it would be.
In the next couple years, take care of it, Elio.
Yeah, get it together. Lock it up.
Lock your shit up.
So that's pretty cool. The only, by the way, 50 poles, that's the all-time third best in the history of IndyCar. He's behind Mario Andretti and AJ Foyt, which AJ and Mario are both hella good drivers. Yeah. They're goats, both of them. And were, I mean, quite fearsome in their day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they were quite competitive with one another, so which I think is the reason that they are the other top two. Because it wasn't like they're from different racing generations. They're the same generation. Yeah. And so I think that they fought hard for each and every one of the poles that they earned because they were fighting against each other. On and off the track, yeah. We always say, you're going to solve it like Mario. #solveitwithawrench. But Alio, you know, I don't think that there's another driver in this generation that even comes close to winning 50 poles.
I mean,
Kanaan's been doing it for a long time, but he doesn't have close to 50 poles.
No, I don't think so.
And so, it is very impressive with Alio, but I don't think that there's another person that's really rivaling him in that right now. I think, I'm not trying to say that it's not impressive because it absolutely is.
Absolutely.
But I think it's a little different when there's somebody in your generation that is right just as fast as you and you're kind of going back and forth each week. All right. So who won the bet?
Well,
from our predictions,
it kind of got a little. Well, the board's over there.
Oh, I'll grab it.
You didn't grab the board. You redid it.
I redid the board. Well, but it didn't have our stuff on there.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you would erased it. Okay, so I said Dixon was going to finish in the top.
Well, first of all, we both thought Will was going to finish, and
we both thought Will was going to win, and he did not.
He did not. But I will say. Willpower did, I think, what you and I always want to do to millennials, which is basically, fuck you guys.
Yes.
Fuck millennials, because there was a moment where Alexander Rossi tried to pass him three separate times. Rossi had hot tires. Will was coming out of a pit.
He was coming out of a pit. He had cold tires.
Black tires. Rossi was on red, probably.
Yes, and so by the laws of physics, yes. Willpower should not have had the ability to drive as defensively or proactively. as he did. He should not have been able to defend his line nearly as well, which is allowed. Blocking is not. Defending your line is.
That's true.
But he should not have been able to do that. But he managed to still have the control and the speed to shut it down.
Lock him off every time.
And he said nope to Rossi every single time. Damn it, ran him off the road.
He did, like, three different times.
Yeah,
he said, you know what, millennials? Not today.
Not today.
Not today, millennials.
Not today, bitch.
That's
not today, Satan.
Not
today.
Not that Rossi is Satan.
No. I just enjoy when people have, like, gifs and memes that say, not today, Satan. It's just hilarious to me.
So, we both picked Will Power to win.
And we both lost.
We both lost that one. So, we could go to our second.
Second things. And so, I said TK was going to finish in the top three, and I said Dixon top five.
Right.
I was incorrect with TK. He did not finish the race. Molly thought that he was going to not be even in the top ten. Yeah. So, she wins that because he was not. I did win the Dixon part, though, because he actually won the race.
The Dixon part. I took that. And Newgarden.
And Newgarden.
That's true.
Newgarden finished second. Mm-hmm. And he tried real hard, but...
Oh, it was a good race.
It was a good race.
He should not be ashamed by that.
No, not at all. I mean, I think he was disappointed that he didn't do, you know, that he didn't win. But, I mean, he ran a hell of a race.
I mean, Dixon just has a little bit more of that seasoned on him, and he just drove a little bit better.
He does, and he's got that experience level. Mm-hmm. Well, and also Dixon, Mike Hull is his race strategist, so that's who's in his ear on the radio, and they have been together for 14 years. They actually interviewed Mike Hull after the race, and he made a joke. He said it's not exactly like a marriage, but it kind of is. You know, because they asked if they thought that played a part in how well Dixon does. And I think it absolutely does.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a level of trust.
It's a level of trust and understanding. I mean, you can almost predict the person's, you know, questions, behaviors, you know, what they're going to do in certain things. You know, so it's almost, you know, I bet that Mike Hull can say something over the radio before Dixon even has to ask a question about
it.
Because he can just watch him and knows he's going to want to know about X, Y, and Z. So I bet that they probably have and from what we heard, they have very efficient communication.
Yeah.
From what we heard during qualifications for the Indy 500 and at the race.
Yeah.
So, I mean, 14 years is a hell of a long time to work with somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, and yeah, like you said, just that level of trust.
And I think almost unverbal communication.
Yeah.
Although
yeah.
I guess that'd be hard to do since you're not looking at them.
No, but you're seeing them drive. You're still predicting their movements. Yeah. You know? So I would say probably some nonverbal stuff. And, okay, so Scott Dixon is, he is now an Indianapolis resident, by the way.
Yes.
And I don't know if any of you saw the news story this week. There was an adorable little girl that wrote a letter to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and wanted to thank them for their safety measures that they have at the track to keep Scott Dixon safe because he's her favorite driver. And when she saw his crash in the 500, she actually started crying, but then he got out of the car and he was okay. And she was so happy that she wanted to write a letter to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway to thank them for taking such good care of him and for what all they do for safety, for driver safety. And so it's been, you know, a month since the Indy 500. Yeah. And so I'm sure they get all kinds of mail and so on. Things got sorted through, and it got passed on to Scott Dixon, and he actually went to her house. They had called her, the track called her, and told her, you know, that they were going to send over some gifts and things, and, you know, some merchandise and things like that. And, of course, she was just giddy.
Right.
What she didn't know is that the person who was going to come over to drop off the gifts was Scott Dixon.
Oh, my God.
And
so
it was so cute. So there was a video online. Oh, my gosh. It was just precious. And he gets there, and she's all giddy and, like, can hardly speak. And he gets out. He's such a nice guy. He goes, I mean, first thing he said, he was, you know, he said hi, and he goes, can I get a big hug? And so, I mean, it just so sweet. I mean, obviously, you know, Scott's a family man. He's got kids, you know, and, you know, so it was just precious. It just made me love Scott Dixon even more. I mean, that's where, like, Dixon's not a diva, ever. He's a solid driver, and he's a solid guy. I mean, right there's drivers could be like, okay, yeah, you know, a 9-year-old wrote me a letter, whatever. But no, Dixon's not, doesn't think that he's too good for anybody. And the fact that he took time out of his schedule to go to this girl's house just... Yeah.
Makes me a little weepy.
Love it.
I mean, the ovaries.
Yeah. Yeah. The ovaries are calling hard on that. But, yeah.
So you won on Dixon and you won on Newgarden.
I did.
I won TK.
And you won on Connor.
I won on Connor. We're going to change Connor.
We're going to change Connor. We're just going to keep track of whether or not his car makes it.
Which, he finished!
He finished! So now we've got all the dates of our races and we're just going to keep track. And at the end is a total. And so we're going to keep track of who... has how many right, and at the end of the season, we'll find out who's buying beer.
Right. And should Connor win, I think we decided we're both going to kind of give some money to a diabetes research.
Yes, we are going to donate money to diabetes research. In fact, we should actually just donate, every time his car finishes, let's donate $10.
Perfect.
And so, if anybody wants to join us on that,
do hashtag Connor Car Watch.
Hashtag Connor Car Watch. And we will.
What do they? Don't they do like a? I think they do like a hashtag Team Diabetes. He and Charlotte Campbell do it.
Yes, they do. They do. So we'll get that on our social media this week.
Feel free to tweet it out. We both have family members who are diabetic, and it's a big deal.
It is a big deal, and it's wonderful. Yeah, it's. I mean, diabetes research is definitely something we want to support.
Yes.
And we want to encourage anybody with diabetes that.
The diabetes. Anybody who has the diabetes to, you know, check their blood sugars.
Check their blood sugars. Take care of yourself. Yes. You know, watch what you eat. Physical activity is important, but it's not a life-ending disease. It definitely changes your lifestyle, but, I mean, we have two race car drivers who are at the peak of physical fitness, and
if you can
they're
drive...
diabetic. I mean, Charlie Kimball has an insulin pump.
Yeah.
He's a type 1 diabetic, which, of the two, there's type 1 and type 2. I think he is type 1 also. And so type 2 means that your body still makes some insulin, so you take insulin shots or sometimes an oral medication to help regulate. Type 1 diabetics, their pancreas doesn't make any insulin whatsoever. That's also sometimes called juvenile diabetes. So these are people who have been diabetic since they were kids. And so the longer you live with diabetes, the more things can go wrong. But obviously they got a good handle on this when they were young, and they're very successful in their careers as professional athletes.
Actually sent, Charlie Kimball just tweeted out about how he can drive his race car, and his race car not only shows him all sorts of things about, you know, the speed and the oil pressure and the gas, but it also shows him his blood sugar.
Yes, I saw that too.
I sent that to my family diabetic and went, oh really? Look, Charlie Kimball can do this in his race car.
Right? He can check his sugar. He can check his sugar while he's driving. So you can check your sugar.
I feel like you can check his sugar.
Yeah.
So there you go.
There you go.
So we, Connor is 1-0, so that's $10 each from us to diabetes research.
Yep, and I think we'll wait till the end of the season and just do one lump sum.
I feel like that. We probably should figure out who to send. We can't just make a check out to diabetes.
No, we can't. We'll find out. We'll find out the official site.
Yeah.
So, all right.
I think that's all the notes from...
Oh, you know what else I want to talk about? Is Graham Rahal.
Graham
Rahal had a couple passes during this race. I mean, Graham Rahal drove like a beast during this race. He came to win. Mm-hmm. He was not taking any shit from anybody. And there were multiple times that people tried to pass him, and he was like, hashtag nope. His line just literally pushed people off into the rumble strips. And he made passes that were so highly calculated that there was literally inches to spare on either side. Like, he would go in between two cars. They made a reference on one of the turns. They were like, they're three wide. I've never even seen cars three wide on this curve. And, I mean, he just, I mean, inches to spare on either side and just zipped right through there. I mean, had there been a gust of wind, it would have caused a crash because it was so, had he sneezed? I mean, because it was so close. But at the same time, I mean, just so ballsy. Yeah. I mean, I got to respect that.
You have to.
I think that it was so close that the driver defending their line did not expect him to actually make the attempt. I think it was so close that he caught people by surprise.
Yeah. And that's fantastic driving. That's good driving.
That is good driving. I mean,
Graham's
and it's exciting.
It is exciting. We've talked about this before. We love ovals because we're speed whores.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I'm excited because I was coming up in 2 weeks and, it takes mere seconds to get through that oval.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, yeah, speed show. But I think at the same time, these road courses, really the drivers get to be very strategic.
They do. Because it's a different type of driving.
It's a different type of driving. When you're trying to pass somebody, you really have to when am I going to pass? And there's a turn coming up here, straightaway. It's all, ugh.
Because there's certain places on the track that it's really hard to pass because there's so many turns right after one another.
Yeah.
That you can't necessarily get your speed up. And you have to also be careful because if you get too far outside, you're going to get pushed in the grass.
Yeah,
which On road courses, we've talked about grass before.
Talked about grass.
I'm okay with the grass on the road courses because I think that the way they built it, because they've got the rumble strips, I mean, mm-hmm. same as we have them on the interstate, you know, when you get off into the shoulder. And so I think that it it's part of your strategy is that you can drive this fast, but you're going to get pushed out, and then it's gonna cause drag. And so you have to kind of balance that of okay, how fast do I want to drive? But if these G-forces swing me out this far, then I know that I'm going to lose some speed here. So it's like, are you going to make it up in other places, or are you just going to go slower all the way through so that you stay on smooth road? There's that one area where Sato and Kanaan got out that they called the kink. And they called it marbles, which was just like a looser.
It's gravel. So I Googled it because I was like,
what the fuck is this?
What the fuck is this? Because that's how we learn things in this podcast. We just Google. It is, let's see, what did I write down? Marbles are debris and bits of rubble.
Okay.
I was like, because I texted you and I was like, what the fuck is this? Is this just gravel? Are there literally strips of gravel? I'm like, I should look up.
So there's not actually gravel.
It's not actual gravel.
So yeah, Molly was texting me during the race. I had to watch it delayed because I had to work on Saturday. So
It happens.
I watched it in two parts. So
that's okay.
But you know, thank you NBC Sports app.
Thank you.
I was able to watch the whole thing.
It is nice to watch. Like, I've listened to it on IndyCar Radio.
Yeah, but it's nice to watch and be able to see it. It just, yeah.
But when they're like, oh my God, look at this, you're like, what?
Yeah.
I want to see.
I know, yeah, you're just listening. So, yeah, I enjoyed being able to watch it. So, yeah, so the rumble strips. And there was also, like, some dirt sand, like, if it got too far out.
Yeah.
And a couple places where it was really fast. And I thought that was nice because, I mean, they're still going to slide some, but not as much as grass.
Right.
That sand, I mean, they do that, you know, in the south where there's more mountains and, in, you know, out west where there's more mountains, they will have, like, runaway truck exits. If your semi-truck loses speed, so you can go off and it's all sand because that sand grips your tires and slows you down immediately. Yep. And so that's kind of a safety measure. And in fact, if, like, the Indy 500 wanted to put sand instead of
grass,
I think that would be a safer option.
I would also like there to be beach parties, though.
Agreed.
Okay.
I mean, in fact, you should just put sand in the whole snake pit area anyway, because they just trash it regardless.
Ooh, that'd be a really good idea.
And then you don't have to worry about mud. Like, just put sand.
Problem solving.
Yeah. Boom.
Bam.
You're welcome, Indianapolis Motor Speedway. You're welcome.
You can hire
sand in the snake pit.
You can hire it.
And then make it a beach party theme.
Oh my God!
I had a party one year in college that was called the beach party, and everybody was like, why is it the beach party? I'm like, because we're nowhere near a beach. And so we had slip and slide races, and we had, like, a kiddie pool, and so that was our water. Mm-hmm. And I charged everybody, you know, $5 for a cup, and I provided all the alcohol. And it was actually a pretty intense party where I had people sign waivers because I thought the risk of injury was significantly high. Just because of the slip and slide races and how drunk we were all going to be. And so somebody said, instead of, like, paying $5 for a cup, I've got a sand guy. Can I just bring some sand? And I was like, sure.
Yes.
So he brought 160 pounds of sand that we then spread around the pool. So that was our beach so people could put their toes in the sand, which seemed like a really great idea because when he showed up, I was drunk. And the next day I was like, oh my God, sand kills grass. So then I had to use a shop vac to vacuum up 160 pounds of sand and then figure out how I was going to dispose of that. Because my mom was out of town. I wasn't even living at home. But my apartment that I was living in, I didn't have the ability for this party. So I just had it while she was out of town. And I was like, I better get the sand cleaned up before Bird comes back or she is going to be not a happy camper.
No. Although that does beg the question, like, I bet raccoons would poop in the sand.
I mean, but raccoons are going to poop in the grass.
That's true. They could just cover it with a tarp like they do with baseball diamonds.
I mean, is anybody in the snake pit going to care? I mean, I'm sure there's already shit in the snake pit.
I know.
I'm sure humans poop in the snake pit on race day.
Well, I'm positive humans poop in the snake pit. That's not a question.
Why are we worried about raccoons?
I'm just thinking, like, the other 364 days.
Well, I mean, you can scoop it up just like Kitty Litter. And they got their grounds. I mean, they've got a grounds team that's going to need something to do since they won't be mowing grass.
There you go.
Pooper scoopers.
And then they can do concerts there all year.
All year.
Jimmy Buffett can come.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. We have solved the world's problems today.
And figured out how to make more revenue.
There you go.
Also on the road course is something that's interesting is with the rumble strips and how, you know, you kind of have a tighter margin of error. I mean, you have a tight margin of error with the ovals because you're going so fast. But as far as, like, how much road is there, and there's not really any banking necessarily. So, I mean, you really have to, like, fight against the laws of physics when you're going fast and trying to make turns and things. Your downforce has a huge, huge part in how well you do. And that's how they design the cars.
Mm-hmm.
My England's giving me, it's making me all burpy.
It'll do that too.
But the downforce of your car, it pushes your car down so that your tires grip harder. And so that's why it's important to have, you know, when you see them zigzagging like we talked, you know, and they're warming up the tires. And so those tires have grip because when they go fast, they want to make sure that...
Sorry, Teresa said that to me today. My mom said it this weekend.
She said warming up the tires?
She goes, we were stuck in traffic. She goes, just warm up the tires. So I started to swerve. She goes, what are you doing? I'm warming up the tires. Warming up the tires, Mom. What? You can't drop that around me. And I go,
that's hilarious. Oh, that's funny. So they're real dependent on the downforce from the car to help them have grip. And so that's one of the reasons that Kanaan crashed where he did. And so it was partially because there were marbles on the course, but also partially because he had lost his one of his front wings.
Yeah.
And so he didn't have that downforce, and so he did not have the ability to keep his car at that speed and steer it. And he just slid straight off. I mean, it was like he was on ice.
Yeah.
Just slid straight off.
Right to that wall.
And that happened to a couple different people that they, like, were all over the course. It was because they had lost that downforce. Mm-hmm. So, also, fun thing about road courses, the push-to-pass.
Push-to-pass. Oh, I love push-to-pass.
I really enjoy it. And I guess they changed the strategy this year. It used to be, prior to this year, they could use the push-to-pass a certain number of times. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, a designated amount of time, usually, like, the length of the long straightaway. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it would be like they could use it, you know, 20 times or whatever it was, and it was just a set amount. But now they move that it's actually a number of seconds. And so, except for in St. Petersburg, Belle Isle, and Sonoma, right, where it's 150 seconds, right, every other road course, they get 200 seconds. And so they have the ability to start it and stop it. So they can do it on smaller stints of the track, mm-hmm, because you don't necessarily want to be going balls to the wall when you're going into a turn, but maybe you have a short straight area that you can use it, and then the drivers have the ability to turn it off.
Right.
And so they have 200 total seconds to use at their discretion.
Which is kind of, it goes back to that strategy, which is kind of what Dixon did with Newgarden towards the end.
He was
basically baiting Newgarden to use up all of his push to pass.
He was absolutely baiting him.
Absolutely.
And then he defended his line to the point that Newgarden could not get around him.
Which, I mean, Dixon. That's how you win a road course.
That is how you win a road course. And honestly, I mean, had the race been 5 laps longer, Newgarden might have won.
He might have.
And Newgarden pushed his pits, usually a lap or two longer than Dixon.
Yes.
And that's how he ended up leading for so long. I mean, and Newgarden, I think, shouldn't be upset with anything about this race. Mm-hmm. I think that he ran a hell of a race.
A hell of a race.
Mm-hmm. And he's, I mean, I've been a fan of him since his rookie year. I mean, and he has really come into his own as a driver. Yeah. And I still would love, he's a good kid. Well, I mean, he is younger than us. I know. Not TK.
Not TK. Or Elio.
Yeah, but I'm not interested in Elio. I know. I'm not interested in anybody that takes longer to get ready in the morning than me, and I feel like Elio's that guy. Like, I feel like he's in the bathroom with, like, a round brush and a hair dryer. You know, like, you know how the hairdresser does your hair, right, and, you know, with, like, a round brush and a hair dryer in a way that you can never, ever repeat? I feel like that's Elio every morning with his hair, like, giving it the perfect fluff. Like, it's the 70s and he's Farrah Fawcett.
Yeah.
And I'm just not about that life.
No. Well, I
going
don't
know
back,
where we went. Elio. Oh yeah, so Newgarden, he's a good kid. He's better than us. But yeah, he ran a great race, and he saved up all his push to pass, whereas Elio did not.
No.
And so when they did that restart after the second caution, they basically called Elio a sitting duck. So it's amazing that he finished as well as he did because he didn't have much push to pass left.
No.
At all. So he because he had used it all up in the beginning, and it did not pan out for him. Not for a win, anyway.
No.
But, I mean, Elio is also a speed whore. I will say that about him.
That's true.
And he will tell you, and everybody honestly will tell you, I mean, he makes no bones about the fact that road courses are not his thing. That's not his game. That's not his strategy. He does much better at oval courses, and he knows that, and his team knows that.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, he did fantastic at the 500.
He did fantastic. I mean, and he always has a good showing at the 500 and at other oval courses, and that's because that's his strength, whereas Newgarden has never done that well at the Indy 500, but that's not his strength. So
yeah.
I think considering that, Elio did very well for himself.
I agree. I would agree with that.
Even if it did take him longer to get ready for the race than it did to run it. Also, speaking of, so because Newgarden is 6'2", as is Graham Rahal. I don't know if you noticed this, because we talked about, you know, how do the taller drivers fit in the car. Did you see Rahal's knees when they showed him?
Oh, my
him?
God, they were up here.
Oh, my gosh, it literally, like, it's what we said. Like, they were just up so high. Like, it looked like his knees were at his chin. And we made jokes about that, but then they showed an in-car perspective, because he had one of the visor cams.
Right, which is always fun for me.
Well, it's a new one. Like,
yeah.
Because... yeah, it actually shows, like, because it used to be helmet cam, so you see the front of the car. Now it's a visor cam, so it literally, like, you're almost looking exactly where their eyes are. So you see more, like, you see the actual steering wheel and all the, you know, numbers that are coming across it, but you could see his legs, and it looked like his knees were at his chin. Like, I don't even know how he breathes.
Oh my God.
There's no way his diaphragm can, like, fully expand.
Which, I'm just going to say, a reason why I would be a good driver is I'm kind of small.
You are kind of small.
I fit right in.
You're little. You're almost jockey size.
I'm almost jockey size. I'm not.
You're fun size.
I'm a little pocket size.
You're fun size.
My only bonus for being a driver, that's how small.
Yeah.
Everything else outweighs it.
Yeah, I couldn't. Dixon finally got a win. It was his first win this season, which is crazy because he's number one in the championship but hasn't won a race yet.
I know. My God. Well, I mean, he pulled at Indy. He must,
I mean, because it also is based on how many laps you led and how many positions you gained, et cetera, et cetera. Because it seems, I don't know, it seemed kind of weird to me that you could be number one in the championship having not won the race.
Well, at one point, we'll figure this all out. And I've already sent it to our accountant and said, help me.
Okay, good. Maths. Good. We need help with the math.
Please help me with the
math. Or any women who are good at math.
Yeah.
Let us know.
Let us know.
If you understand this better than we do, we'd love to hear about it. We'll do some research. I had a busy week at work, so I didn't have much time for the research. So, all right. Well, our feisty as fuck updates.
You know.
Feisty AF. We did have a lot of retweets on that, but from other people, including a proprietor of Tim Hortons. So if there's a Tim Hortons in your area, thank you, Canadians.
Hey.
Go to Tim Hortons. Because we support businesses that support women. And we support women-owned businesses and all that business. But that was, I think, the only business that I saw that had retweeted us.
I don't think I saw that, so I'm really excited.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't Tim Hortons as a whole. It was a proprietor of one.
Okay.
But good for him. We do. We love Canadians. We love Hinchcliffe. So who did not do very well in this race? He did not have a great race.
No.
I'm sure there were some words on his radio. I would have really enjoyed to hear that.
I really said that neither one of us are Verizon people.
Oh my gosh, I know. My brother Joe is.
Because you can hear, like, so my brother's an app, but if you're a Verizon customer, you get to hear the teams. Like, you can choose a team to listen to. And I'm like,
damn,
I don't have that.
Yeah, because Joe did that during the Indy 500 this year, because we had the radios, and he really wanted to be in on it. And so then he realized that he could do it on his phone. So,
oh, brother Joe.
I know. He wanted to be part of the club. So, yeah, let's see. I think we've got that.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's. Oh, you know what? I don't have the sound effect anymore. Shit
we didn't make up.
Well, let's talk about what happens at the end of a race. As a lot of people know, in a lot of races, they spray champagne. The very first spraying of champagne actually happened in Le Mans. It was 1967.
All right.
And it was, you know, my father's favorite driver, AJ Foyt. And Dan Gurney, and they were driving for Ford, and this was part of the Ford-Ferrari fight that I've referenced a few times, so it was a big fucking deal.
BFD,
and Dan Gurney got the champagne, because usually they just drank it, and he was like, whatever, like, we're partying, like, it's, you know, like a rock star.
Yeah, I'm gonna make it rain.
In 1967, he made it rain.
Yeah.
And so he shook it, and he sprayed it all out, which, fun fact, by the way, so in Speedway, there's the Foyt Wine Vault. They actually created, because the 50-year, let's see if I can do math right. Yeah, no, this was the 50th year. They created a sparkling wine for this event.
Excellent. And they only made a certain number of, I think like 25 cases or something.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
But they created wine specifically for that event. So, which is pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, since he was part of
the whole thing.
That's
how champagne got started at the race.
At most races.
That's true.
But not the Indy 500.
Not the Indy 500.
As most IndyCar fans know. At the Indy 500, when you win, you drink milk. And that was started in 1933 when Louis Meyer won the Indianapolis 500. And that was his, but prior to that, you could just request whatever you wanted to drink. And he requested milk, actually buttermilk, because he grew up on a farm. And so he grew up drinking buttermilk. God, can you imagine how thick and heavy that would be? Like, I feel like an anchorman, like, milk was a bad choice.
I mean, even to this day, when they're like drinking milk, I'm like, oh God.
I mean, you know, I love milk. But I think if I was, like, that hot from competing, I don't think that I could handle it.
I think that's why I've just been like, yay, milk, and pour it over my head.
Yeah. So, they usually, most of them take, like, one drink and then pour the rest. But Louis Meyer, so it was 1933.
There you go.
And it was buttermilk. And then following that, let's see, and he won again in 36, and he drank milk from a glass milk bottle because after he did the buttermilk, then the dairy farmers thought, well, this is a big race, this is a big thing, and so it became something that the
Dairy Farmers
in Indiana, Dairy Farmers Association wanted to get in on and kind of sponsor this and get their name out there, as, you know, just a small part of the winning celebration for the Indy 500, and so now that's a thing that happens every year. The driver drinks milk.
I was going to say, and the driver gets to choose what type of milk. So, what type of milk? There's like whole, 2%, 1%.
Skim, chocolate, buttermilk.
Chocolate?
I would imagine you can.
Okay. What would you choose?
2%.
Okay.
I choose 2%. Well, it depends. It depends on what type of milk it is. I don't know. I don't know what the brand is that they use, the United Dairy Farmers, but I'll tell you what, every time I go to the state fair, I go to the United Dairy Farmers booth, and there's two things that I get. I get a milkshake, and I change the flavor up every year.
Okay.
Usually I do blueberry milkshake because I love ice cream. I mean, I love dairy, period.
True.
And so I usually get a milkshake and I get a grilled cheese.
Oh, the grilled cheeses there are fantastic.
Oh my God, it's my so good. It's so good. Like that, I mean, I literally, when I go to the state fair, like I plan my entire visit around what food I'm going to eat because hashtag fat ass. Okay, like that, literally, like I plan, like I don't even care about the rides.
I don't go for the rides.
I mean, I'll ride some of them, but like I literally, I want to walk around. It's like I want to do a deep fried veggie basket, like with zucchini, broccoli, cauliflower, onion, like everything, just everything in there. I want to hit the dairy barn.
Yes.
I want to obviously see all of the barns with actual animals in them and pet as many as I can.
I basically want to steal an animal.
One year, I actually, like, if you hang out long enough and you're cute and you're, like, nice enough to people and, like, sweet enough, whatever, and, like, bullshit, sometimes you'll actually, like, get to do jobs. Like, I got to walk some horses around once. And some, and like little miniature donkeys, like some baby donkeys. I got to walk them around a little bit, just to like get them out of their stall and whatever. Cause I just hung out long enough and they were like, do you want to walk them around? And I was like, hello. Yes.
Yes.
That's yes, I do. I want to touch every animal here. So yeah. So fun fact about the Indiana State Fair.
There you go.
State Fair. But yeah, I want to get the potato that's basically just like spiral peeled and then made into potato chips.
Nice.
I know one of your favorites that I agree with is the huge ear of corn.
Oh my
corn
God.
On the cob that they just dip in that vat of butter.
Butter. Oh, every year.
We've gone way off topic.
We got into food.
Sorry, we got into food. But yeah, so anyhow, so you get to pick whatever milk you want. I've never seen anybody do chocolate milk. I don't personally like chocolate milk because I don't like chocolate. But I don't know. I wonder if that really is an option.
I don't know if it is or not. I've seen it where they do like the 2%, 1% skim milk, whole milk.
I don't think anybody would choose better milk other than Louis Meyer.
And if you do, you need to rethink some electrolytes.
Like, ew. I mean, I guess some people really like it, so good for them.
All right, whatever, I'm judging.
But yeah, so anyhow, so that's where that started, the Indy 500. But it wasn't until 1967 that we started with the Champagne, which that has transcended into almost every type of auto racing. Yeah. I mean, NASCAR does that, Formula One does it. I mean, it started in Formula One. Other IndyCar races do that. It's only the Indy 500 that does milk, all the other IndyCar ones.
I think maybe the one in Sonoma does wine, but I'm not sure.
Oh, that would make sense because they're in wine country. But it's probably still a sparkling wine. Technically, it's not a champagne if it doesn't come from the Champagne area of France. Yeah. Same as it's not bourbon unless it comes from
the Bourbon Trail.
The bourbon, unless it comes from Kentucky. Yeah. Like all bourbon is made in Kentucky. And I don't want any arguments about that. I don't want to see that because I've seen multiple things back and forth. It's like.
No, you're wrong.
You're wrong.
You're wrong.
We're like race control. This cannot be appealed.
No.
All right. So we're mid-season, halfway through.
We're a little over mid-season.
Well, a little.
To be fair, we meant to talk about mid-season last week, but, you know, shit got feisty on us.
Shit got feisty with the women's only race team, which I have not seen too much about it this week. I also haven't seen any of the, our main male drivers.
I want to call them out. Because maybe it happened when you and I both were working.
Well, and it's also possible because they do have, like, codes of conduct. And so one of the things is that they are not allowed to say, write, blah, blah, anything that could reasonably consider to be disparaging to the sport or about IndyCar. And so I don't know who is in charge of this particular team, but if it's somebody involved with IndyCar, then their hands might be tied. And that might be one of the reasons that Pippa's not naming names. However, she has still been very vocal about it, and nobody else has said anything.
I've been able to, like, I don't want to, like, because we're going to say this, and somebody's like, wah, 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 so-and-so didn't, you guys didn't notice it. Okay, fine, we didn't notice it.
I mean, that's very true. But if they did, they didn't use any of the hashtags, because it would say no to segregation hashtag, and we race as equals. We have not seen any of the big-name male drivers use those. So if we don't see anything by next week, we are going to start calling people out.
It's going to happen.
It's time.
I'm going to feisty again. Bring it down.
I know. I have to bring it down. So right now, Dixon's still number one. He was number one in the championship before that. He's got 379 points. And we got Pagano at 345. Mm-hmm. Just sneaking in right under the radar, just like he did at the race.
Being sneaky.
Sneaky AF. Do not underestimate my sneakiness. Number three, Castro Neves, was 342 points. Then we got Sato at 323. So, not too far behind. The New Garden's number 5 at 318.
And then, of course, our boy Power. Power's 316.
Pretty close.
Behind him is Ray Hall at 307.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a little bit of a gap. Kanaan is coming in at 273. He's 8th. Ninth is Rossi, 271.
All right.
Pretty close there to Kanaan. And then 10th is Ed Jones at 254.
Okay. Ed Jones is also a rookie this year.
Also a rookie. You know what? Strong showing for the rookies this year. I am not unhappy about that.
I'm not unhappy at all. No, Ed Jones has actually had a great season.
He had a good year.
He's had a really good showing as a rookie. And I think he's just going to get better and better.
I think so. I read that there has been multiple leader changes. Bourdais at one point, of course, was a leader. Obviously, after the crash, he's no longer in consideration. Pagano was a leader for a bit. Castro Neves was a leader. And, of course, now Dixon has been the leader for the past four races.
Wow.
So we've got seven races.
Dixon is not fucking around this season.
He was like, you know what, bitches? I wish you
right? He's got his shit together, and he's got time to spare to go visit all the girls.
Aww.
So, yeah, Dixon.
He should get extra points for that.
I think so. I'd give him extra points.
What do we call about that?
I mean, he's got a pretty good run. He's got 34 points on Pagano, so.
I really enjoy that you did that, man.
Yeah.
Nice.
I mean, I have a science degree, so. I'm a STEM.
It's a soft
I'm
science.
I'm a female STEM.
Soft science.
Yeah, no, mine's a hard science. Mine's hard, okay? Microbiology, chemistry.
I'm meant to be chem. Anyway.
Anyway.
So seven races left. Who do you think? I'm going to put you on the spot, too. You know that.
Well, I think, because how many ovals do we have left?
Let's see. Iowa is an oval.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God. I think there's one more.
So only two ovals left out of seven races?
Nah, maybe more than two. Hold on. Look, let me pull up mine.
Yes.
Oh, will it
IndyCar Nation.
Will it tell me if it's an oval?
No, I don't think that it will.
Let's see. I know Iowa's an oval. Toronto is streets. I think Mid-Ohio is an... Nope. Mid-Ohio's a road. We're going to road race again.
Yeah, we're actually going to go to the Ohio race. We're very excited.
ABC Supply.
And the Poconos. So the Poconos is like an oval, kind of. It's like an oval bump it.
It's like an oval bump it. The one in Illinois, the Bomarito, is an oval. That's a Grand Prix. So three.
So three out of seven. Okay. So, I mean, Castro Neves could make a run for it because he does well on the ovals.
He could.
I think Newgarden, since there's more road courses than ovals left, I think that Newgarden is going to move up.
Yeah.
Sato, I'm concerned about because he's got a pinched nerve in his neck.
I'm not going to put anything in his basket.
I know. And I hate that for him. I actually thought about, like, tweeting him and, because I've had pinched nerves in my back and, you know, well, and I thought about tweeting him and, like, giving him some suggestions of things that I have used, but then I thought it would be considered racist because I use massage and acupuncture. And then I also use these herbal patches that I got from my acupuncturist that get shipped from China. And they're Wu Yang patches. They're amazing. But anyhow, but since like it involved acupuncture and these Chinese herbal patches, I was like, I feel like I'm so white that this is just going to come off like I'm just suggesting like Eastern medicine things to a Japanese driver. I just felt like it was just going to come off wrong. And also, I don't feel like he's unaware of these things either.
Right,
I'm
sure.
I just thought I'd be helpful, but then I was like, he's got people he pays for this.
I mean, maybe he's listening to this.
I doubt it.
No.
I doubt it, but maybe one day.
Some people are. Thanks.
A few people.
Thank you.
So yeah, but I think Dixon's still gonna win it. The whole championship. Because he does well on roads and ovals.
He does well on roads and ovals, and I'm talking last year it was the back half where he really started to heat up. So
where he really hit his stride.
Yeah, I'm thinking if he's gonna hit his stride again, I think this might be it.
I mean, and he did just win this race, which he came in saying that he was hoping. You know, because they did a pre-race interview, and they said, you haven't won a race yet this year. He said, we're hoping to change that today, and he did. He did. He called it out. It's like when you call the last shot in pool, and you're like, corner pocket, you know, like, seven ball corner pocket.
Yep.
And Dixon was like, yeah, we're going to change that today. And he fucking did.
I mean, to be first and only win one race, that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, that is. I mean,
sets him up to at least finish it out. Very strong.
Yeah, I think he's definitely going to finish probably in the top three of the championship.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We won't take, total bets on that. But for the next race.
Well, we'll talk about that one in the next week.
Yeah, we'll talk about that next week because we got some time. So, all right. 2 weeks they're going to Canada and we're going to Hawaii.
Which is so nice.
Oh, we're so excited. We a friend of mine from college is getting married. And she lives in Hawaii now because she does research on water mammals. And so Hawaii is a good place for that.
So we'll be watching the Canada road race from Hawaii.
We will.
Maybe if we have our shit together, we'll actually do our podcast from Hawaii.
I think we are going to do our podcast.
I think we can do it.
Yeah, we're going to do it probably from the beach. So you'll get some beach photos of us. We'll probably bring like a checkered hat each or something for race day.
All right. So this is so bad. I'm such a fan. So Rossi has the clutch and chill line.
Yeah.
I definitely bought one.
Good for you.
In, like a pool color. Yeah. Oh, I can't let this go. It's red, white, and blue.
I'll be
wearing that.
Good for you. I need to get a Pippa shirt. So maybe I'll buy that before we go. So yeah, so we'll be coming to you from the
Hawaii.
From Hawaii.
From the beach.
Pacific Ocean. And then...
So it's not yet July, but it's almost July.
Almost.
So July here in Indy. Now May, everybody knows May in Indy is the Indy 500.
Mm-hmm.
July in Indy, I think lesser known is it's the Brickyard.
Yes.
It's NASCAR, which admittedly in this podcast, I don't really know about NASCAR. And I don't really care to know a lot about NASCAR.
No, not really. So much.
But we're going to be experiencing the Brickyard this year.
We are. We decided we're going to go. I've been to the Brickyard once before, and I had a free ticket. And so I've always said I had a good time. It's not that I didn't enjoy it. It just wasn't something that I wanted to throw money at.
Yeah.
That if I had ever had the opportunity to go again for free, I would. But we're going to suck it up and spend a little bit of money, and we're going to go.
So we're going
to go. Molly's going to go to FanFest.
I'm going to, is it FanFest or 400, 400 Fest?
What the, well, I don't know what the hell it's called.
They're calling it.
You know what I know? I've got to work that day. That's what I know. Molly gets to come back from vacation and then go to a fucking concert. Yeah. I come back from vacation and get to go straight the hell back to work.
I'm working that Friday.
Okay.
No, I'm taking our rookie of the year. We're gonna go to the
yes, our fan rookie of the year.
We are. Unless he wants to go,
right?
Fernando will not be going with me.
No, I think Davison would be more fun to party with anyway.
I feel like he would be.
I mean, based on his dad and his dad's best friend,
they were pretty awesome.
They were awesome.
They would. So that's coming at the 22nd, 23rd of July.
And so hashtag Can We Survive NASCAR?
And if you're there and you're listening to this podcast,
come and find us.
Find us. And let us know.
We'll let you know where we're going to sit. We haven't bought our tickets just yet. We're still figuring out. We've got it under control, but I mean, we got some money invested in this Hawaii trip, so.
What do y'all got for $20?
Right? No, it'll be a little bit better than that. That's true. We'll let you know where we're going to sit, so you can come out with us. Let's see.
So after that, we are going to the Honda. Ooh, wow, I spelled that.
You did spell that wrong.
So I used to work at a Honda dealership. It was a Honda Hyundai.
Yes.
So we learned how to say it Sunday, Monday, Hyundai. So I accidentally wrote Hyundai.
That's funny.
We're going to go to the Honda Indy 200 at Mid-Ohio on the 30th. So we're going to take this shit show on the road.
We are taking the shit show on the road. We were just talking earlier. We're not sure if we're going to camp or do a hotel. We'll probably camp because we're not fancy.
We're really not.
And we'll definitely do a live podcast, and we'll probably do an extra one that week. We'll do a live one, I mean, the day before, the night before.
Yeah.
Probably interview some random fans, because why the hell not?
Yeah.
And check out a race on the road. It'll be the first IndyCar race I've ever gone to.
That's so true.
That's not in Indiana. So we have, we've never been to a race at another track. For IndyCar, anyway. I've been, you know, to some other races, but not IndyCar. It'll be exciting.
It will be. And then about a month later, I'm actually going to be taking our rookie of the year. Hopefully. She seemed down with it. We're going to go to the St. Louis, the Bomarito. Well, it's not St. Louis. It's Illinois. Whatever. Same difference. The
Bomarto.
Bomarto 500. So we're going to be there as well.
It's just after Molly's birthday.
I will be 33. So if you see us, if you want to meet up with us, you do have to bring me alcohol.
Yes. You have to bring her at least a Jell-O shot.
Yeah.
Because it's her birthday.
Why not?
Or if you happen to kidnap a cute driver, you can bring her that too.
I'm just saying.
Just putting it out there.
I'm single and 33. Do what you will.
Yes.
That's it.
It's time.
It is.
It's time.
Yeah.
It's time for one of us to marry somebody famous so we can stop fucking working. And just do this full time. See, that's why we could be, like, one of us could be driver, one of us could be race strategist.
Exactly.
Like, we would be the only team that would just blow Dixon and Michael out of the water.
They'd be like,
because we can, we are, like, same mindset.
Silence on the radio, except for a lot of curse words.
Lots of curse words.
I mean, at one point, one of us, who's ever race strategy, would be like, take the fucker out. Yep. Take
it on it. Well, no, we would have a code word because.
Yeah, you can't say that over the radio.
You can't say that over the radio, I'm sure.
I'm sure that's
I'm sure.
Thing.
All right.
Well, guys.
I think that's it.
Lord, I think we covered everything.
All right. So don't forget to rate our podcast. We're aiming for 5 stars.
Yeah.
And subscribe. Tell your friends and family. Tell everybody you know. Tweet it. Hashtag us. All right. You can do that by going to iTunes and searching Fast Cars, Fast Girls. We were also approved for Google Play this week. So if you use Google to listen to podcasts, you can find us on there.
Here's
click on the subscribe button that... we're on nearly all podcast sites now except for Stitcher, but apparently there's a problem with that website, and it's not us.
For once, it's not my fault.
For once, it's not our fault.
I'm so excited.
We're so new at this. We've got some great stuff coming up. we're going to have more fun facts and the shit we didn't make up section. So
at one point, we're actually going to get to, like, the real stuff. Like, how the fuck does this happen and not just us talking for about an hour about a race?
Correct. Correct. We're going to get more into some of the details, but we're going to wait till after the season for that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're sprinkling in some knowledge here and there, but, you know, we'll get to more nitty-gritty stuff later
on. Yeah.
All right. If you use any of our stuff, you are more than welcome to. Just please credit it.
Yeah.
Follow us. Hit us up on social media. Send us an email. You can ask us questions. Promise we'll answer.
I promise we'll answer.
Twitter, we are at FastCarsIn317. And that's I-N. At FastCarsIn317.
Mm-hmm.
Instagram, FastCarsFastGirls.
Yep.
Tumblr, FastCarsFastGirlsIn317. Again, that is I-N. Let's see. And email fastcarsfastgirls317@gmail.com.
And it works because my mother sent us an email.
That's true.
She did. She was so excited. So finally, and as always, Pippa Mann, Sarah Fisher, any women out there involved with this sport, any women out there who are fans, any women out there who understand the point system better than you and I.
Correct.
You know what? Hit us up. We would love to talk to you about it.
And even if you're not a woman, even if you are just giddy about racing and you are also pro females, you can be a man. We're not sexist. We'd love to have you on the show. So
love to talk to people.
Yeah,
that's our favorite part.
If you got good stories,
let us know.
Yeah,
we will talk about anything you want. We'll ask you questions about any story you want. We promise. Hit us up.
Hit us up. All right. Well, thank you guys very much for listening. We'll see you next week.